The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Are you waiting for God to fix your problems? Jimmy Evans explains how God has given us what we need to live the overcoming life.
Part of the question is, why does Satan use fear so much? Well, that's what he's full of. See, there's no peace, the Bible says, for the wicked. And he's the ultimate wicked person. This is what the devil thinks in fear terms. He feels in fear terms. That as much as you know the presence of God by peace, you know the presence of the devil by fear.
Today, I'm Randy Robinson. Sheila Walsh is here.
Hello.
We've got good news because as a believer, the victory is yours. But there's something you have to do, and here to tell us about it, the author of The Overcoming Life, would you welcome Jimmy Evans?
Good to be here. Thank you.
So I like the subtitle here because it spells it out, makes it easy for guys like me. As a believer, victory belongs to you, but you still have to claim it.
That's right. Yeah.
Tell us what we need to know about what's going on and what we can do to claim that victory.
Well, Jesus died not to give us the ability to cope, but to conquer.
Oh, my. What a statement.
And so he conquered death and hell. He conquered Satan and all of his power. And he's given us authority, but we have to use it. Luke 10, Jesus said, I give you authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means harm you if you use the authority. If you don't use the authority, you're going to get hammered. And so the wonderful news is we can overcome because of Jesus. We can overcome in any area of life, but we have to claim it. And so this is what this book is about.
Okay, there's a lot, right?
Because that's fascinating. I mean, what would that look like, say, somebody who's trying to overcome something in their own strength and somebody who then is overcoming in... under the authority of Christ.
Yeah. Good, that's perfect. Well, so let me talk about fear. I grew up all of my life fearful and insecure. And when I got saved, now on the outside, I looked real macho, okay? And I acted macho. In fact, the more fearful I was, the more macho I acted. and I tried in my own power to overcome that, the fear. And I just couldn't do it. In fact, it got worse. It didn't get better, it got worse. And I can't remember exactly the series of events, but I got to the point one day, I read 2 Timothy 1:7, and it says, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. Mm-hmm. And what I realized was, this wasn't my fear. See, I always felt, and there were events that happened in my childhood that were traumatizing. And see, the devil's not a gentleman. Whenever you're traumatized, he uses that as an open door to come in. And I wasn't demon-possessed. There's no such phrase in the Bible. But it was just, he's attacking us in that area. So I had certain traumas that had happened to me that were open doors, and he was using those to harass me. Well, I didn't know it was him. See, what makes the devil so dangerous is stealth. When he came into the Garden of Eden, he didn't take the form of a wolf or a bear. He took the form of a serpent. And the reason that serpents are dangerous is you don't know they're there. They're stealthy. And so Satan slithers in, slithers out, and he doesn't want you to know it's him. We are his perfect disguise. So he came into my life through me, and he was introducing thoughts and feelings into me that I had no idea were him. I knew they weren't God, but I thought they were me. And what helped me so much was the day that I realized this is a spirit that I have authority over. See, we're not born with any fear. We're born fearless. All of the chronic, debilitating fear is of the devil. And you can't defeat it until you begin to deal with it as a separate entity.
See, okay, that's interesting because you could take the idea of a spirit of fear as just an attitude of fear. But you're saying it's more than that.
Well, for many people, their lives are debilitated by fear. Mm. They have this chronic... See, there's a good fear. And a good fear that God creates us with is you're driving down the street, someone swerves into your lane, immediately you swerve out,
right.
Okay, fight
right.
or flight. It was temporary. it was circumstantial and it was helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But bad fear is chronic, it's paralyzing, and it's confusing. Mm-hmm. And that what the devil is, and this is the way that I say it, is fear is a prophet spirit from hell sent to give you a negative report of the future so that you'll make a fear-based decision that God will not honor. And see, what fear does is...
I actually would love you to repeat that, yeah, because okay. That's really profound.
Okay. Fear is a prophet spirit from hell sent to give you a negative report of your future so that you will make a fear-based decision that God will not honor. Okay, because God only honors faith. And so the true prophet spirit is the Holy Spirit, and I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans of good and not evil to give you a future and hope. Mm-hmm. So God's out here saying, hey, child, it's all good. Now keep walking in faith toward me. Mm-hmm. The devil's over here saying, he doesn't know what he's talking about. You're headed for disaster, and you better do all these things to keep from happening. And in fact, in the case of debilitating fear, in many cases, there's nothing to do to keep it from happening. Mm. You're just waiting for the next shoe to drop.
Mm. Isn't that the goal of the enemy?
Absolutely. He only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And fear, see, the part of the question is, why does Satan use fear so much? Well, that's what he's full of. See, there's no peace, the Bible says, for the wicked. And he's the ultimate wicked person. This is what the devil thinks in fear terms. He feels in fear terms. That as much as you know the presence of God by peace, you know the presence of the devil by fear, this chronic debilitating fear. And again, the secret is the stealth. Once you realize, anger, Ephesians 4, be angry, don't sin, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You'll give a foothold to Diabolos, the devil. Okay, so what happens when couples go to bed on anger, when you go to bed on anger? So let's just say you're married, and I went to bed on anger for 3 years. Okay, I was mad at my wife for 3 years. Okay, so I went to bed on anger. When you go to bed on anger, the devil slithers in and accuses your spouse, slanders your spouse to you. Oh. So you fall in love, you just feel so great about each other. How does a couple go from being so madly in love and thinking the best of each other to just hating each other and thinking the worst? Well, part of that formula is you go to bed on anger, you don't resolve it, you don't talk it out, work it out. And the devil slithers in and slanders your spouse to you. He slithers out. You wake up the next morning and you've been counseled by the devil and you don't know it.
Wow.
Wow, that's huge. Wow. I mean, that's huge. I'm thinking back in early years of my marriage, and that's exactly what would happen. Yeah. I would get so mad at Barry, and I didn't want to talk, and I would go to sleep.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. You're counseled by the enemy.
Yeah.
That's a horrific thought.
I did that for 3 years. That I would, in my family, when we grew up, we didn't know how to deal with anger. Mm-hmm. So you just didn't make eye contact. And you knew, we didn't know
how to
talk.
So you never deal with anything.
Well, you knew how mad somebody was at you by how long they wouldn't look at you. Well, that's the most dysfunctional. Well, that's what I did to Karen. So when Karen would make me mad or something, you know, I'd yell at her for a minute or whatever, and I would go silent for days. Mm-hmm. And just to punish her. Well, it's the most dysfunctional thing in the world. But I was under the influence of the devil's thinking. I was literally looking at my wife through the devil's eyes. And I believe that I had made a mistake.
I can't just move on. I mean, that's huge, Jimmy.
It's huge. It's huge.
I mean, I think of how many Christian couples, that's their story right at the moment,
absolutely,
and they don't even recognize it because they think, well, this is just what I think.
Yeah.
They don't realize, no, actually, I've been counseled by the enemy.
Yeah, it's a spiritual world that we live in, and we have to see through those lies. Yeah.
Let me ask you then. So I'm thinking of a couple that are watching right now, and they're sitting there now. They're not even looking at each other as they're watching this program. How do you deal with that? How do you interrupt that? How do you change that?
Well, first of all, you have to realize that the devil hates you. He hates your marriage, and he's there to destroy you. And if you're a couple, your spouse is not the enemy. The devil's the enemy. And you have to come to the point of realizing, Sheila, like you said, and I did this for years, that when I go to bed on anger, it is an open door. Mm-hmm. And the devil's going to take that door every time because he wants to come. He only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And you have to come to the point of saying, and I had to say this, I've made mistakes. And these mistakes have been devastating to our marriage. And the mistake that I made for all those years was going to bed on anger and believing that my wife was the enemy. I truly believed that she had all the problems. And if she would change, our marriage would change. And I believed I made a mistake. Mm-hmm. I know where I was standing, and I know the moment when I had the thought, I shouldn't have married her. Mm-hmm. Now, we've been married 46 years. I married the perfect woman. But back then, because I was under the influence of mm-hmm. the devil's thoughts, I thought I'd made a mistake.
So hang on. I can't remember if we talked about this before the show or yesterday's or the previous show, rather. But the first thing that mankind does is deflect that blame, right?
That's right.
The devil made me do it.
That's right.
Which there's an element of that, but yet you're saying you had to own up.
Right.
So where's the, how does that all work between pointing the blame at the devil and then owning up for our own shortcomings?
Yeah, his part of the formula is he's going to take the door that I leave open.
Yeah.
I left it open.
Yeah, okay.
When I went to bed on my anger, see, even if your spouse won't talk things out, you can devil-proof your heart. And Ooh. Before you go to bed, you can say, Lord, I forgive them. I'm not going to punish them. You know, I pray that you'll bless me and protect my heart. I pray you bless them. That's not the problem. The problem is when you go to bed and you're laying there and all these thoughts are racing around your head and you're all the what ifs and all the scenarios of, you know, what's going to happen. That's when the devil begins to play with your mind. So he took the open door. I left it open.
Yeah.
That's my part of it.
Yeah.
But that's beautiful
that is,
because
yeah.
some people will think, well, my husband doesn't want to reconcile tonight. Doesn't, but the, that you're not left abandoned
that's
in that.
That's exactly right.
But, you know, what you're talking about makes me think that's how you can get to the place where the person that you looked at and said, I love you more than MD, you can suddenly think, you're an idiot.
That's exactly right.
That comes from the pit of hell.
It
that's
does.
Not from, I mean,
it
that's
does.
Huge.
You're looking at it through the devil's eyes. That's that idea right there is that'll stop you. What you're talking about in a lot of cases is unforgiveness, and that's even bigger than the marriage relationship.
Yeah.
That's something that scars people for life, their entire lives, and it can be family, it can be work, it can be friends. Do you find that unforgiveness is one of the biggest areas where we need to learn how to overcome it?
I think it really is probably the biggest, because we're all going to get wounded in life. And this is in the book, there's a chapter on unforgiveness. I'm not a hater, I've never been a hater, but there have been a couple of people that I really hated. And one guy in particular just did me a lot of damage. And I just hated his guts and wanted him to die. I just had a little torture chamber in my heart and I drug him down there 5 or 10 times a day and just beat him up, you know, beat the nonsense out of him. And so I just hated his guts. I just did. And it doesn't matter who you're unforgiving towards. It comes out on the people closest around you.
Yeah.
And so what happened was it came out on Karen. I began to be short with her, and Karen walked up to me one day and she said, your personality's changing. And I felt oppressed, you know, the longer I hated him, because I hated this guy. And so I was praying one day and Karen said, you need to deal with this. And I knew, and I was a pastor. Okay. So, I mean, this is not back in my bad days. So I was a pastor and I was praying one day and the Lord said, I want you to bless him.
Yikes.
And I said, No, I'm not going to bless him.
Well, he didn't deserve it, I'm sure.
No, and I thought, you know, Lord, if I prayed a blessing on him and you actually blessed him, now I'm mad at you.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
the Lord never says, Jimmy, you're right. You know, so the Lord kept on. So he said, I want you to bless him. And he just stayed in my face about it. So finally, I prayed a prayer of blessing, didn't mean it. And here's what the Lord said, you pray for him like you pray for you. And I thought I'm such a wonderful person. I deserve to be blessed. And the Lord said, so I prayed the prayer, had my fingers crossed, didn't mean it, you know, it made me sick to pray it. And the Lord said, I want you to pray it every day.
Yeah.
And so I woke up the next day, prayed it, didn't mean it. And I woke the next day, prayed it, didn't mean it. I think it was 10 or 12 days into praying for him and his family every day. And I was praying one day and I saw a little 10-year-old boy standing out in a field and kind of on a ranch, kind of by a house. And I knew it was this man that I hated, okay, is a little boy. And what I knew is something horrible had been done to him.
Mm.
And the Lord said to me, you see him for what he did to you. I see him for what was done to him.
Mm.
And instantly,
wow,
all the rage and hatred became compassion.
Yeah.
And I never, ever felt ill toward him again. And here's what I say. A lot of people will say to me, they'll say, Jimmy, I have prayed to forgive my abusive father, stepfather, mother, ex-husband, ex-wife a million times, but nothing changes. Jesus said, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. That's not trite advice. Yeah. That is healing.
Yeah.
And if you can't bless, you haven't forgiven.
Yeah.
You can say with your lips all day long, I forgive you, but you have to take it to the next level. And I'm talking about people that sexually abused you. I'm talking about people that did horrible things to you. Jesus forgave us all that we did. We put Jesus on the cross. We did. My sins put Jesus on the cross. So whatever a person does to me does not compare to what I did to Jesus. And so it's grace for grace.
Yeah, I also find that when you get stuck there, a lot of it is that conflict we have with that sense of justice,
that's exactly
which is
right.
A right sense. But what we essentially say is, I trust my sense of justice more than I trust God's.
That's right.
By holding on and not just letting them go, letting someone off the hook,
that's
putting
exactly
them on
right.
God's hook.
Well, bitterness is a justice spirit. See, bitterness demands justice before it'll move on.
Mm.
It's the opposite of grace. See, grace says, you're God's. God gave me grace. I give you grace. I'm going to go out down the road. I don't have to have justice. But bitterness is, I demand justice. But the thing is, that's great. If you want justice, then God has to get justice with you. And see, when Jesus in Luke 6 says, given it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shake it together, running over, the context there is grace.
Mm.
Wow.
He says, hey, love those who hate you.
Yeah.
You know, bless those who curse you.
Yeah. We like to quote the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, we call it. Mm-hmm. Do we read the next two verses?
That's right. That's exactly right.
You know, yeah. It's so interesting because 20 years ago, somebody really wounded me. And for 10 years, I prayed to forgive them. And I still felt this lump in my wow. heart. And yeah. then I began to pray that God would bless them,
yeah.
would bless everything that they were doing. And 2 weeks ago, it's the first time I've seen them in 20 years. And when I saw them, it was like my heart was full of love
yeah,
for them. I went over and hugged them. And it was like, and we both asked each other for forgiveness.
Wow.
But this, you're right, there's such power in praying blessing. And it's trust in God's goodness okay. when you pray a blessing on
That's
other
exactly
people.
Right. It's the ultimate form of God's love. Mm. You know, it's easy to love someone who's lovable.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, it's so difficult to love the ornery ones and the hard ones mm. and the mean ones.
The ones that don't deserve it.
That's exactly right.
In our eyes.
Yeah. But, you know, the loving people like that is a Christ-like spirit. Mm. Mm. And in many cases, it shows them Jesus in a way that they've never seen it.
I mean, you know? If anybody could have said, this is not my job, that would have been Christ on the cross.
That's right. That's exactly right.
If there was
right.
ever anyone who could have said, I don't have to do this, it would have been him.
Yeah.
But he did everything for us.
That's exactly right.
So it's a privilege to forgive.
Yes.
Are you able to tell us what happened to the boy in the field or as far as the relationship between you and him?
Not good. He was just a very difficult person. I forgave him. And I never felt that thing in my heart again when I heard his name. He was just a difficult person who did a lot of damage to a lot of people, and he didn't change. I mean, not that I know of.
Right.
You know, but
right. But you're saying you can forgive even when they don't ask you to.
Oh yeah, he never asked. And I've heard about him in his later life, and it seemed as though he softened maybe a little bit, but it wasn't a happy ending in the sense that all of a sudden we threw our arms around each other and we were friends.
Right.
You know,
but as far as for you, I'm sure your wife was quite happy with the ending.
It would have,
and that it didn't change your personality.
It would have devoured me.
Yeah,
Yeah. Sometimes you just have to do things out of obedience because God knows the best way.
Well, it's just like dragging your will in line with God's will, and suddenly life works.
Yeah,
that's right.
So I don't know what you're dealing with in your own life, but I want to tell you this book will really impact you, whether you're dealing with shame, with unforgiveness, with bitterness, whatever it is. Jimmy helps us to understand how we can be free to truly live in the freedom that Christ died for. And we'd be happy to send it to you. But we'd love it if you would help us do something to set some people free in a place where their bondage looks very different right now. Please watch this.
Mothers in underdeveloped countries continue to watch their children suffer and die at an alarming rate. One of the reasons is a crisis you don't hear much about in the news, a water crisis. According to the United Nations, millions of people, most of them children, die from diseases associated with an unfit water supply and sanitation issues. Brenna knows all too well what unclean water is doing to her children.
mwana kuchiswa dairia pakambuya kakonkanya paka yakabira lisuba swa kuyokisa mukufu ali mu 18 hours machonsaka ina.
You know, no mother should have to bury a child because they simply don't have a clean water source. And that's why we're here.
These deaths do not have to happen. There is a simple solution that can stop the heartache and pain these families have experienced.
I'm asking you to help us. The need here is urgent. So here's what I'm thinking. Can you think of one thing that you can live without to give them the one thing they can't live without? What they need is clean water. They just want to provide their children with clean, healthy water so that they don't get sick. So I'm asking you in Jesus' name, it will make such a difference in their lives. It will give mothers hope and it will give children a future.
You know, someone said to me after I came back from this last trip in Zambia, you know, do you think that these mothers, well, you know, they're experiencing this all the time. Perhaps they would get more used to it than we would. There is no mother on the planet who would ever get used to burying their child. I mean, some of these moms I sat with, there was a language barrier, but there was a mother bond. We would sit beside each other and simply weep together. I didn't know how to express in words, but we didn't need words because it was an understanding of the grief and the helplessness and the hopelessness. But when I mean, that last trip has changed me forever because it's not something that I think, well, there's nothing we can do about this. This is something we can do something about because I went from those villages where the water was filthy and I almost wanted to stop the children drinking it, but it was all they had. But then I would go to a village where there was a well and it said, given by Life Outreach International. And I watched these children drink clean, fresh water, death and life. And you and I can bring life-giving water in Jesus' name. And it's so easy. I mean, it's not something that, you know, you need millions to do. Do you know that we can put a whole well in the village for $4,800? I mean, I think if we could just get into the habit of skipping something. I mean, who needs to go and see one more bad movie or go out for dinner? You know, make yourself something at home and let's change the world for some people. And Randy, if we do it together, This is very doable.
Yeah. $4,800 is a lot to me. Yeah. But $48, that's a little more realistic. And that gives water to 10 people for a lifetime. A lifetime. $144 will give water for a lifetime on average to 30 people. That's just, we've been doing this for years. We've got the system down. We know what we're doing here. We just need you to partner with us. And it's as simple as going online, going to the phone, giving the best gift you can. Sheila, you said something there where you said, is there something we could do without to give something they can't do without? That's such a powerful statement because literally one cup of coffee would give water to one person for a lifetime. That's a fast exchange.
Well, I was standing beside a well and there was a snake in it and it's filthy and the water's dirty and I'm watching this darling mom put her bucket down and that's all she's got. And I'm thinking, you know, we could give up something that we can live without to give them the one thing they can't live without.
Yeah.
So we can do it together. We can all do something. Mm. And if we all do something together, we can literally change the world. Please go to the phone. Give the best gift you can.
Today, a mother living in extreme poverty will do the unthinkable. Give her children dirty, disease-filled water that she knows could kill them. With no other choice, what's a mother to do? With your help, clean water is on the way. Mission Water for Life is the answer to a mother's prayer to save the lives of her children, to offer them a bright future free from the fear of death. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, we'll send you Praying Women, How to Pray When You Don't Know What to Say. In her new book, Sheila Wall shows you how to reignite your conversation with God to become a strong praying woman. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Power of Prayer Bundle. This bundle includes a cozy throw blanket adorned with words of the Lord's Prayer, a decorative pillow cover, as well as Sheila's book. All three are encouraging reminders of how there's power in your faith-filled prayers. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request our brand new commemorative bronze sculpture, A Mother's Strength. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
This is one of the coolest things ever. This well right here can go up to 300 feet. It can get down to where the water is pure and clean. Because in villages around here and places all around the world just like this, sometimes their only source of water at times of the year is dirty, it's contaminated. When people only have contaminated water, they have no choice but to drink it. There's no substitute for clean drinking water. And that's why the Water for Life outreach is so critical, so important. We need to put these in more places. They work. This is success. Will you help us extend the Water for Life program? Will you help us drill even more wells so that we can give life around the world? And remember, when you give to Water for Life, you give water and life.
Thank you so much. If our lines are busy, please keep calling. Let's do this. Let's change this world. And for any gift at all, we will send you this book, The Overcoming Life. As a believer, victory belongs to you, but you still have to claim it.
That's right. And thank you, Jimmy Evans, for showing us how to do it. Did you appreciate what he had to share today?
It was awesome.
Thank you. I know I do. Appreciate everything you do, Jimmy. Appreciate everyone that watches. Supports the outreaches of life. Please do make the best gift you can. You can make a difference today when you join with us. And join us next time on Life Today.
Are you concerned about keeping your family well-equipped to manage your resources when you pass away and leaving a lasting legacy? Contact Life Planning Services today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.